Okay, we're on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and the Gemara had asked a question. We had mentioned a brisa yesterday that said that if a bell has a clapper, and if the clapper is removed, the bell is still tumah. Normally, when a kli gets broken, it loses its tumah. But here, even though the bell lost its clapper, it still remained tumah. So Abaya had said the reason why that's true is because since a person can put the clapper back on so quickly, even a head yot, it's as if it's not even broken. Rava rejected that, and Rava said no. The reason why the bell is still tame is because even though it doesn't have a clapper, you can still use it for making noise by banging it against a piece of pottery, and it can still make noise. Now up to Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan says a third reason, another reason why the bell will be tame even though it doesn't have a clapper. And he said, Hoil v'royu l'gamma bo mayim l'tinok. The reason why it's going to become, well, the reason why it remains tame is because you can turn it upside down and use it for a cup to give to a child to drink. So it does have some purpose. It's still usable. It still has a function, and therefore it remains tame even though it loses the clapper. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan lo boy me'ein malacha rishona. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of the opinion that in order for a kli to remain a kli, it still has to have some function that's connected to its original main function, right? In this case, the main function of a bell is to make noise, and now you're using it as a cup. Doesn't he hold that in order for a kli to remain tameh, it has to have the same function similar to what it was originally made, the kli was originally made? He does hold that. Where do we see that? V'atanya, because we have a brisa that says as follows. There's one of the tumas that's out there is called tumas midras, which means sitting or leaning. Anything that you sit on or lean on, if you're tamei, anything that you sit on or lean on, only applies by four types of tumah. By zav, zava, yoledes, and metora. Those four people, if they sit on something, then what they sit on becomes tamei tumas midras, and whatever they sat on becomes an akha tumah. They don't have to touch the item that they sat on. So if they're sitting on five mattresses and they're only touching the top mattress, all five are going to become tamei. Tomei Tomas Midras. So now the pasuk says as follows. Vatanya, we'll go to the brisa. So that's Tomas Midras. Vatanya, v'chol kli asher yeshev olav. The pasuk says that any kli that you sit on will become Tomei Tomas Midras. Yachal, I would think, kipa sa'ah. If somebody turned over a bucket that holds a saw, he turned over such a bucket, v'yeshev oleha, and he sat on that bucket. Right? Or kipa tarkov. He turned over a tarkov. A tarkov is it's a mnemonic of trei ukav. Two kav plus another kav, which is three kav. Six, there are six kav in a saw. So this is half a saw. It's measured half a saw. Anyway, it's another bucket. Took that bucket, v'yeshev aleha, and he sat on it. I would think, yehei tamei, that bucket should become tamei, tomas medras, because he sat on it. Talmud Loma, therefore the pasuk tells me, Asher Yeshev Olav Hazav, that it says the word Yeshev. Mi Shemiyuchad Li Yeshiva. It only includes something that you normally sit on. Yatzazeh, excluded from that is something like this, like a bucket. Sha'omrim Lo, we will tell the guy, Amod, get up, V'nasa Malachtenu, and let us do our work with that bucket. I mean, in other words, I need the bucket. If somebody's sitting on a chair, nobody would ever come and say, hey, get up, I need the chair for my work. But the chair's made to sit. But when it comes to something that's not made to sit, like a bucket, somebody will come along and say, hey, I need the bucket, I got to go do my work. I got to go do my storage work. Get up, please. So since you can say that by a bucket, the bucket's not included in the din of Tomei Midras, because it's not something that's set aside for sitting. What's Tomas Moshav? No, it's Tumas Medras. Tumas Medras, Tumas for sitting. So since a bucket's not something that you normally sit on, you can sit on it, but it's not meyuchad for sitting, it's not made for sitting, therefore the Tumas Medras will not apply. Now, V'Rebbe Elazar Omer, B'Midrasos Omrim, when it comes to Tumas Midras, we say such a thing, Amod V'Nasa Et Melachtenu. We say this principle of, get up and I need my work, I need to do work. But the ain't omrim b'tamei meis amod v'nasa malachtenu. But by regular tumah, by all by tumah's meis, which means by other kalim, we will not say this principle of if it's not being used for what it was made to be used, then it loses its tumah. We will not say that. So, for example, if you have a bucket, and not a bucket, let's say a bell. So if the bell loses the clapper, and now you're using it for a cup, you will not apply the principle of, hey, I need the bell to make some noise, so give it to me. Therefore, it loses its tumah, because it's not made for use as a cup. We will not say that by tumah. We only say that by tumah as a midrash. That's Rabbi Elazar. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Af Omar b'tameh meis. We will even say it by tameh meis. Amod v'nasim alachtenu. And we'll even say it by tameh meis, the principle of Amod v'nasim alachtenu, which means that the only time it keeps its tumah is if it still has a function similar to what it was made for. And if not, then it loses its tumah. Rashi points out that don't think for one second that the only time something will become tameh is if it was used, if it was made to be used regarding mesim. You might have a hav minute to think that. In other words, the only thing that could ever become tameh in the world is something that's used for a mace, like a coffin or shrouds. So Rashi says if that would be true, there'd be very little tumah in the world. So just don't think that. But it means anything that was used for a purpose, and now can't be used for that purpose. So if it can be used for something similar, then it's still tameh. If it can't be used for something similar, then it loses its tumah and it remains tahar. So that's Rabbi Yochanan who said that. Where Rabbi Yochanan said, or the third line of our Gemara, that the reason why the bell still remains tameh is because it can use it for a cup. But that's not the same purpose as a bell. A bell is used to make noise. And now here he's saying that if it can't be used for its original purpose, or something very similar, then it loses its tumah. So Rabbi Yochanan contradicts himself. Everyone got that? So the Gemara answers, Epoch Kamaisa. Reverse the opinions of the first memra. So in other words, we had yesterday that the bell could be used to make noise by hitting it against a piece of pottery. That's also Rabbi Yochanan, which fits in with Rabbi Yochanan over here about the Tumas Midras. And the issue about who was the one who said that you can use the bell to be a cup for a cup, that's Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Chanina. So we reverse the shitos, so Rabbi Yochanan no longer is inconsistent. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Umay chazes t'ibchas kamaisa. Why did you see fit to reverse the shitos of the top Gemara? Epoch basraisa. Why don't you reverse the shitos of this Gemara here with Tumas Midras? And say that Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, be consistent and say the other way. That Rabbi Yochanan would hold that the only time a kli will lose its tumah is if it was for Tumas Midras. But for a regular tumah, he wouldn't say such a thing. Why did you reverse the first memra of the Gemara? So the Gemara answers, Hashma'in and Leilu Rabbi Yochanan, because we have a third case, a third memra of Rabbi Yochanan, where he agrees that by Tumas Meis, but regular tumah, we say this principle of Amo V'nasal Malachtenu. Where do you see that? The bow that he holds, Me'ein Malacha Rishona. That in order for a kli to remain tameh, it has to still have its original tumah. It has to still have a function which is similar to its initial function. If it doesn't have a function that's similar to its initial function, then it will not become tameh even by tumas meis. Where do you see that? Itnan. It's a mishnah in Kalim. Sandal shel behema. If you have a shoe for a behema, so this is not a horseshoe because, as you're going to see, it has to have a base kibble. It has to have a something you can put something inside it. It's some kind of attachment of a shoe. We had said earlier that takshitim and articles of behemoths are not makabel tumah. So Tosva says this originally was made to be used for a person. Also, it was originally created to be used also for a person and also for an animal. So it does have. So the Gemara says sandal shel behema, a sandal, a shoe for an animal. Shel mateches, if it's made out of metal, tameh, it can become tameh. So the Gemara says, l'may chazi, what can you do with this thing that it can become tameh? What is it more than a shoe for an animal? Right? Amar Rav said, roi lishtos bo mayim bil milchama. You can use this shoe to drink from it during a time of war. Right? If nothing else, you'll use that. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Rabbi Chanina says, Ro'il lozuch bo shemen bil mechama. You can use it to anoint yourself with oil during a war. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and the same Rabbi Yochanan, what does he say? He says that b'shah sheboreach min hakerev, at the time when you're running away from the battlefield, when you're running away, meinicho biraglov, you'll put these shoes on your own feet, because they're made out of metal, v'rot al kotzin v'al habarkonim, and you'll run over the thorns and the thistles and all the debris on the floor, and therefore you won't get your feet hurt. So you see here again that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the use that you have to have of this kli is something similar to its original use. Its original use was it was a shoe for animals, and you, the only way it will remain tameh is if you make it a shoe for yourself.
What is the standard for a secondary use? Like, you could seemingly find almost, you could dream up a use for almost anything.
Right, so, you know, it has to be a use. So what if you say, what if it's a door? Everything could be a paperweight.
Right.
Everything could be a paperweight. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. Everything could be a paperweight. Everything could have a use. I don't know. I don't know the answer. But I can tell you one thing, that so connected to the issue of original use, that is a machlokus about, a tomei meis. Rabbi Yochanan has, it has to be connected to the original use. So if it was a shoe, it has to be used for a shoe. If it was a cup, it has to be a cup. All that, if it was a bell, it has to be used for being a bell. But they don't hold from that at all. But, I mean, we're good.
Even though it's a shoe behemoth to a shoe adam.
Right, so Tosfos says, because you originally made it this way. You made it that if you're ever going to need it, it's going to be available for you. And we're going to see in two lines when it would not be available, and he would agree it loses its tumah. Now, my bein Rav l'Rabbi Chanina. What's the difference between Rav and Rabbi Chanina? Why does Rav say to drink water out of it, and Rabbi Chanina says to use it to anoint oil? The case will be if it's something that is very moist, it's very disgusting. So nobody will drink out of that, but to anoint yourself, maybe it could be. Rashi says that according to Rav, what's someone anointing himself during a war? It's a very unusual thing. It's a battle. No one's doing that. So he rejects the whole opinion. But if it's a moist, then Rav would agree nobody's going to drink from that. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina? Rabbi Chanina said the oil, and Rabbi Yochanan said to use it for a shoe. The difference will be if it's very heavy. If it's very heavy, Rabbi Yochanan will agree you can't use it for shoes, it's too heavy. And then he'll agree that it loses its tumah. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why isn't that the Balchol? That's a good question. I think Tosfos talks about that. I think he's saying what the machlokas will be, even if you don't have to, even putting aside that issue, it's what's a practical machlokas. The bottom Rashi says, L'Rav, the second to bottom Rashi, L'Rav lo matame de edwar lishtos, V'Rav sicha lesle, K'sikasavr e molichin shemen v'lomochama, lasuch. V'hu adin bein Rav l'Rab Yochanan, nami ikka beinayhu demos. So Rashi says that even according to Rav and Rab Yochanan, the dispute will be whether or not it's mos. So why didn't they say that the issue is? I guess they're trying to say what's the difference without coming on to that. That's obvious. That's the obvious difference. What will be a practical difference? So the practical difference is if it's mos. We're going to have tomorrow's daf about using a shoe for a door stopper, like taking any kli and just using it for any purpose. Just to say, using it for a purpose regarding muksa, which is a similar issue, right? If it's something as a kli, you can use it letzarch kufa letzarch makoma. So, I need it to hold up my door, but you can use anything for that. So that's tomorrow's daf. So maybe there is some kind of any use under the sun would be good. Okay. So that ends the Tumah Gemara for now. We'll have more of it in the next 2 days. Now the Mishnah had said v'lo bi'ir shel zahav. You're not allowed to. A woman is not allowed to go out with a city of gold, right? It's some kind. It's a machlokas. Rashi told us what that means. Rashi said it was a clasp, which had the skyline of a city, and Tosfos said it's an actual crown, which had a city of gold. So my irshalzav. What does that mean? What is it? Rabba bar bar chana amr Rabbi Yochanan Yerushalayim de dava. It's the city of gold. It's Yerushalayim of gold. Like Rabbi Akiva made one for his wife. So Rashi says it's in Maseches Nedarim. And over there, the story goes, we said this once here, that Rabbi Akiva was, he was not a Talmid Chacham at the time he got married. He married the daughter of Kalba Savua, her name was Rachel, and Kalba Savua basically disowned them. And they spent their wedding night in a barn, because they had nowhere to live, because they had no money. And when they woke up in the morning, Rabbi Akiva, the Medrash says, Rabbi Akiva was pulling the hay out of the hair of his wife, because he felt bad. She was a kala in the morning, and that's what he was doing, because they were so poor. And he was crying. And she said, why are you crying? There are people that have it even worse than us. There are people that don't even have hay. At least we were lucky enough to have hay. And he said to her, I promise that one day I will buy you a crown of gold, a tiara of gold. And I saw one of the Rishonim says that when he came back with 24,000 Talmidim, he brought it along with her and gave it to her at that point and said, this never would have happened, it's not for you. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Abraisa says, Losete Isha Be'ir Shel Zav. A woman cannot wear a Ir Shel Zav on Shabbos. V'miyatasan, if she does, Chayev Es Chatos. She's Chayev Chatos. Divrei Rav Meir. That's Rav Meir. So Rav Meir holds that the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah wasn't so strict. The Mishnah said the next shita with that it's potter aval aser, it's a gzera. Maybe you'll take it off and show it to your friend. But Rav Meir holds it's a genuine masoi, it's a genuine burden, an unnecessary item, and therefore it's aser midaraisa. The chachamim omrim lo seite. She should not wear it out on Shabbos, but v'im yosso. If she did, petura. She's potter. It's aser to do that, but it's only aser midarabanan. If Rabbi Eliezer Omar, Rabbi Eliezer says yatsa isha beir shel zahav. A woman can go out with an ear shel zav, it's not a problem. L'chadchila, it's okay. So now the Gemara says, B'mai kamifliki. What are these three shitos arguing? What are they arguing about? Rav Meir Savar, Rav Meir holds, Masoi hu, that the ear shel zav is a genuine masoi, it's a burden, it's not necessary, it doesn't serve any function, it's not a tachshit, and therefore, if you wear it, it's like you're carrying on Shabbos. The Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold, tachshit hu, oh, it's a tachshit. But why can't you wear it? Because Dilma Shalfa, maybe she'll want to show, she'll remove it. Umach Vilei, she'll show it to her friends. Va'asila Asuye, and she'll come to carry it in Rishus Harabim. So it's only a gzera. That's what our Mishnah had said. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Rabbi Eliezer holds, Man Darka L'meifak Be'ir Shel Zav. Who is someone who is common to wear such a Ir Shel Zav, such a very expensive piece of jewelry? Who is a woman who does that? Isha chashuva. That's only the very, very chashuva women. Elsewhere, it's defined as somebody who doesn't prepare their own food. They have people doing it for them. Others say it's Yerushimayim. Whatever it is, it's a certain status, and as you reach that status, you don't. The isha chashuva lo mishlofa umachvei. A woman of that status does not remove her items to show it to her friends. So such a person can wear it. Kalila. A kalila is some kind of crown or tiara, something that goes across the forehead. I guess the best way to translate it is a tiara. So Rav Asar, it's such a tiara. Ushmuel Shari. And Shmuel said it's not a problem. Now, de'aniska, if the crown was made purely out of a precious metal, like gold or silver, kuli alma lo pligi de'asar. Everybody, both Rav and Shmuel, agreed that it's usher to wear. Ki pligi, when did they argue? They argued the aruksa. If it was made out of material, but woven into the material was gold and silver. So the question is, what's the majority of the crown? Is it gold or is it material? So Mar Savar, even if it's made out of material, it's still also according to Rav. Why? Aniska Iker. Because the main, he goes basa the what's most chashev, and the gold is more chashev than the material. Therefore, even though it's not predominantly gold, well, he treats it as such, and therefore it's usher to wear out. Mar Savar and Shmuel holds no. Aruksa Iker, the Iker is the material, and a woman's not going to take it off. It's not so special that she want to show everybody, and therefore it can be worn on Shabbos. Rav Ashi Masni Lakula. Rav Ashi learnt this whole machlokas a little differently, lakula, and he said as follows: di'aruksa, if it was made out of material, the kule alma lo pligi de shari. They both, Rav and Shmuel, agree that it's mutter because it's made out of material and no one's going to take it off. Ki pligi, when do they argue? They argue da aniska. They argue by the case where it's made out of gold. Mar Savar, Rav holds, Dilma Shalfa Umachavya, maybe she'll take it off and show her friends. V'asi la asuya, and she'll come to carry it. Umar Savar, and Shmuel holds, Man Darka Lemefak Bikalila, who is someone who will normally wear such a crown? Isha Chashuva, only Isha Chashuva. V'isha Chashuva, Lo Shalfa Umachva. And an Isha Chashuva will not generally take off something and show it to her friend. To her friends. Fine. Next. Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Bar Chana L'Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel Bar Bar Chana said to Rav Yosef, Beferish Amartalon Mishmei to Rav. You told this to us, Beferish, in the name of Rav. So Rashi points out that Rav Yosef was somebody who had gotten sick and he lost all his learning. And so throughout Shas, you have always that they would tell Rav Yosef, you know, you said this once before you got sick. You told this to us once. So again, over here, Rav Yosef, you told us that Rav said it explicitly, like Rav Ashi, that what? That the klala shari. That even according to Rav, a regular kalila made out of material is mutter. Amrulei l'Rav, and they told Rav, asa gavra Rav ika aricha l'Naharda. It's a very tall man who just came from Naharda. Umitale, and he's limping. Vidarash, and he darshined kalila shari, that a kalila is mutter to wear. Omar, so they said, man gavra rabba aricha da itle, who is the tall man who's limping? Levi, it's Levi. So Rashi here says, why was he limping? So Rashi says that Levi itla, Levi limped, da achvoy kida kame de rebi, because he tried to demonstrate a certain kind of bowing in the Beis HaMikdash called Kida. It's some kind of bowing where you bow down and you support your body on your thumbs. And somehow when he was getting up, he had too much strain on his back and his legs, and he was limping. And Rashi says, as Rashi reminds us of the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah doesn't say that. The Gemara in Sukkah says that he was limping because of that reason. And then the Gemara in Sukkah asks, but wasn't he limping because he got punished? Because one time there was a drought, and he davened for rain, and the rain didn't come. And Levi said to Hashem, you know, Hashem, you're up there in Shemayim, and we're down here suffering. And he got punished for acting in a brazen way. So the Gemara there answers, he got punished for both. And Rashi explains over there that when you put yourself into a dangerous situation, you're reminded, you know, Hashem reminds of all the, you know, it arouses the things you did wrong when you're in a precarious situation. Like the Rashi quotes the Gemara we had earlier in Shabbos, that when the axe is down, that's a good time to shecht it, to slaughter it, because it's already in the position. So too, Levi was in the position where he could become harmed, and it reminded Hashem of the time that he spoke brazenly to him, so he got harmed and he ended up becoming limping. I don't know why Rashi leaves that whole story out. I don't know why. Anyway, so Shema Mina, Rav said that since Levi's here, all of a sudden Levi showed up. Shema Mina, it's a raya that Noach Nafshe drove Ephes. It's a raya that of Ephes died. So for this line, you need some background. So Rebbe, but when Rebbe was on his deathbed, Rebbe said that Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama should take over as Rosh Hashiva when he dies. And when he died, Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama did not want to take over as Rosh Hashiva because Rav Ephes was 2 years older than him. And out of the kavod for Rav Ephes, he felt it wasn't right. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama said, Rav Ephes, you become the Rosh Hashiva. And Rav Ephes was older and he agreed. But Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama did not want to go into the Beis HaMedrash and learn under Rav Ephes because he felt that since he was the one that was picked, It was a slide in his kavod to go in there and be subservient to Rav Ephes. So he stayed outside and learned by himself. Levi came along, and Levi felt bad that Rav Chanina Bar Chama was learning alone. So he decided he'll learn with him outside, and that went on for years. Now Levi shows up. So Rav said it must be that Rav Ephes died. Rav Ephes died. So what happened? Rav Chanina Bar Chama became the Rosh Yeshiva, and now Levi doesn't want to go in there and learn under Rav Chanina Bar Chama. In the Beis HaMedrash, so he showed up over here. That's what Rav said. That must be what happened. So Shmarmi no, Noach Navshid Rav Ephes. Rav Ephes must have died. The Yosef Rabbi Chanina Bereisha, and now Rabbi Chanina became the Rosh Hashiva. V'lo Havalei Inish L'Levi L'Mesev Gabei, and now no, Levi has no one to learn with. So why didn't Levi want to go in? Because he felt that since he was his chavrusa for all this time, that again he didn't feel it was necessary for him to go in there and be underneath Rev Chanina. So he showed up over here, the Ka'asi Lahacha, and here he came, here he is. So the Gemara asks, a side point, the Dilma Noch Nafshe Rebbe Chanina, maybe Rebbe Chanina is the one who died. And right, the Rav Efes Kitakoi Koi, and Rav Efes stayed there as the Rosh Hashiva, and now Rebbe Chanina died, so Levi doesn't have a chavrusa, so he came to me. Why did Rav assume so quickly that it was Rav Efes who died? V'lo habalei inish l'Levi l'meisiv gabe. So Levi now has no one to learn with. V'ka'asi l'acha. So he showed up here. So the Gemara says that couldn't have been a possibility for Rav. Why? Because in Isa, the Rabbi Chanina Shachiv, if it's true that Rabbi Chanina would have died, that Rabbi Chanina died, Levi l'Rav Efes mekaf havei kayef lei. Levi certainly would have gone in to Rav Efes to stay learning under Rav Efes, because Rav Efes was older than him. He certainly would have done that. Since he didn't do that, since he showed up over here, it must be that Rabbi Efes is the one who passed away. V'su, and moreover, Rabbi Chanina lo sagi delo malach. It can't be that Rabbi Chanina will pass away without being the Rosh Hashiva. That can't happen. Why not? T'chi havikanoach navshet the Rebbe, because the Rebbe was on his deathbed. Omar, he said, Chanina Rabbi Chama Yosef Barosh. Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Chama should be the Rosh Hashiva. V'ksiv b'hu b'tzadikim, and it says regarding tzadikim, v'sigzer omer v'kayim lach, right? That there goes there and it comes true. So it can't be that he'll die without becoming the Rosh Hashiva. Even though he was appointed Rosh Hashiva, he turned it down. Right? He turned it down. So what do you mean that the tzadik is goes there and it comes true? He was appointed. He said, no, I don't want it. It's not right to Rav Efes. So it must be that the Rav felt that even though he turned it down, it's still going to happen that he's going to be the real Rosh Hashiva. Not that he had the chance to be, but that it really will happen. Anyway, Darash Levi b'Naharda, Levi Darash in the Naharda, Kalil Ashari, that it's mutter to wear such a tiara. Nafik, after he made this heter, Nafik Esrin v'Arba Kalile Mikule b'Naharda. 24 women in the entire town of Naharda started wearing the Kalila based on Levi's heter. Started wearing it, 24 women. Darish Rabavar Avua b'Mechuza, it's got a Kalila Shari, and in Mechuza they darshined that a Kalila's mutter, and what happened? V'nafku tamne sari Kalila mechadim uvoi. 18 women from one street started wearing the Kalila. So I saw someone who said that Naharda was a yeshiva town, so nobody was wealthy. So the whole town, you found 24 women that managed to have a Kalila. But in Mechuzah, it was a very wealthy town. We had Mechuzah a few times. That Mechuzah, the women, right, they sit around all day, don't do anything, and their husbands have to resort to stealing to support them. We had that the people in Mechuzah were very, very wealthy. They wore very long clothes, almost like a woman. They wore very baggy, you know, very clothes, of almost like robes, like royalty, because they were very wealthy. So in Mechuzah, a very wealthy town, 18 women on one block, all of a sudden started wearing the Kalila. It's interesting. Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Amar of Shmuel, Kamra Shari. A Kamra is mutter to wear. What's a Kamra? So Rashi says a Kamra is a fancy belt. It's a very, very elaborate, ornate belt. Ikka da Amri da Ar Kusa. Some say it's a belt which is ornate. It was made out of material. And again, it was woven in with gold. Amar of Safra, Mid da Havi Atalis Mutheves. It's just like a cloak, which has gold woven into it, right? The Ikedamri, and others say, the Aniska, it's a belt made entirely out of gold, and it's still mutter to wear. The Amr of Safra, Midi Dahavia Avnet Shel Malachim. It's just like a belt worn by kings. And Rashi says, every Jewish person, every Jewish man, is like a king, has the potential to be a king, and therefore it's mutter to wear such a belt on Shabbos. No. But the issue is wearing a belt that you're going to take off to show your friends. That's the issue. So I think that some bring a riot from here that men don't act that way. Men don't show off their jewelry, their clothes the way women do. and therefore it's mutter to wear it. That's what some say over here. Some say there's no takshit by a man altogether. All the isurim of takshit, all the gzeros, only apply to women because men aren't. They don't have the derech to do that, to take it off and show it off. They don't have the derech to do that. What? Oh. Anyway, avnik shel malachim. Okay. Tosfos says, Shemal Bushim hu, ve elehem avneid ache. You don't have another belt. You don't have another belt, Tosfos says. Hakanami, Shari, still mutter, high camera, le'itza, de malbushihi, velo mashalful nachve. It's a malbush, and you're not going to take it off and show it to people. We're going to have tomorrow about women taking off things where it's going to be a breach of tznius, like on their legs. We're going to have that tomorrow. That then there's no gzera because they're not going to do it in public. We're going to have that tomorrow. So, anyway, Amalei Ravina Leravashi. Kamra iluvai hamayna mai. What about wearing this fancy belt on top of your other belt? Can you do that? So amalei shrei hamayna kamarta. You tell me someone's wearing two belts, right? So what does that mean? So Rashi and Tosfos both say that it's usser. And Tosfos points out even though you're allowed to wear two of anything else, the mechaber paskins you can wear two coats, two shirts, two pairs of pants. Why? Because when it's cold, you would do it and it's normal. So it's always normal. Even if it's going to look ridiculous in the summer, it's not considered an extra clothing and it's mutter, but not belts. Gemara says, belt, two belts? Two belts unheard of. Based on this line of the Gemara, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that it's usser in a place where people do this and in a place where there's no Eruv, it's usser to wear a gartel in the street. If someone wears a gartel on top of their clothing, it's usser to wear it, can't wear two belts. The Shemir Shavuos Kilchasa argues and says no. Even first of all, some people say Rav Moshe would never have said it if you wear a gartel over a jacket. So then, it's serving a whole different function. But even if you're not doing that, the Shemir Shavuos said it's mutter because the belt serves an entirely different purpose. It's not just to show off; it's for davening, and it's a machlokas for Moshe and the Shemir Shavuos Kilchasa. Anyway, that all comes from this Gemara. In Amar of Ashi, Rav Ashi says one more thing: Hi, Rus Besuka. Some kind of cloak that holds. I'm not sure what rusuka is. I think it's a garter. Some kind of cloak. Some kind of me'il that holds up that you wear that holds up your clothes. So islay maf b'chaisa. If it has clasps to attach it to you, so that it's not going to become loose and it's not going to fall off, then sure, then you can wear it. V'ilo, and if not usher, then it's usher to wear. Fine. Right, so the logic is because it doesn't serve any function. Never serves a function. You only need one belt to hold up your pants. Unlike two shirts, which if it's winter time, somebody could do such a thing to be cold, to be warm. So then, since in the winter it's possible, it's never considered an extra baggage, even in the summer. But one belt, what do you need two belts for? One belt to hold up your pants. You don't need two. So according to your, so he was saying.
If you have one, then the person wouldn't take it
off. Right.
Is it derisive or a bomb?
That's a machlokas. That's a machlokas. It's the rice of Rabbanon. Two belts. Right. Veloba katla. You can't wear a katla. So we had translated katla as some kind of choker. And my katla, minakta peri. Some kind of bib that the women used to wear to hold. So peri here means crumbs. Some kind of bib that they used to wear around their neck to catch the crumbs when they're eating. Or it could be some kind of ornate something. Some kind of garment, an article of clothing that they would wear around their neck. Nizamim. What are nizamim? Are rings. What does the Gemara say? Nizme ha'af. It's nose rings. Rashi says nizme ha'af. It's the first wide line, last words on the line. Aval nizme ha'ozen, but earrings mutarin lichatchila. It's mutter to wear. Listen to this, Rashi. The trichale milsa, it's a big tircha, lemishlaf, to take off the earrings, the achruye, and to show it to your friends, mipnesha azneha mechusos bikishurin, because the ears were covered with the head covering. So to undo all that, to show your friend, to show the neighbor the earrings, no woman would ever do that. That would never happen. That's what Rashi says. And the Mechaber quotes this lahalacha. He says, lo seisei benizmei ha'af. Aval yatza benizmei ha'ozen. Earrings, you can go out. And then the Ramah says, but wait a minute. Mipnei she'ozneha mechusos. Because the ears are covered up. They're covered up, so you're not going to undo it. But, u'bamakam shenoagin legalos ha'oznayim. right, in a place where the ears are not revealed and not covered up, then asur lotzeis b'nezamim sheba ozen hecha d'derech shlohotziyam sham, then it's asur to wear. Which raises the whole question of, what's going on here? We have so many dafim about women not wearing any jewelry, and yet today everybody wears jewelry. So what's going on? Even in a place where there's no eruv. So the Mechaber already addresses this question, and he says as follows in Sif Yud Ches, in Simen Shin Gimel, Sif Yud Ches. He says, V'idna, and now, Nashe Didon, our women, Nahagu Lotzeis B'chol Tachshitin. They go out with everything. So what's going on? So V'yesha Amru, some say, Dimedina Asuros. Nothing changed, it's still Asur. But they don't listen. El Shekiv and Shalo Yeshim, ooh, they're not going to listen. Mutav Shiyu Shavu goes Valiyu Mezidos. Let them do it B'shogig, and rather than them doing it B'mezid. That's one answer. Then he says, V'yesha Limul Aleihem Tichos, we can be native schools for the women. Lo mashe noah goes kate al pisvara achrona shekasavti. Based on what I just said a moment ago about making a differentiation between Rishus Rabbins, Doraisa, and not. And he says, shalom atzu la seis betachshitin lachatzer she'enu mureves. They did not asr wearing any of his jewelry in a chatzer. They only asked it in the street. In a chatzer, they didn't bother. So he says, ahashta the last law in Rishus Rabbim gamor. Since today, there's no Rishus Rabbim gamor. Have it called Rishus Rabbim Shalonu Kekarmelis. The worst we have it, the Machaber saying, is a Karmelis, which is only Medor Abonin anyway. V'dino kechatzer she'enu mureves u'mutter. So the street will have the din of a chatzer she'enu mureves, and it's okay. Also a little difficult. But then the Ramah comes along and says everybody. He says, v'yesh omrim od tam lahatir. Another reason to be matir. Why? Da'achshav shchichi tachshitin. Women are very commonly wear jewelry today. They wear, it's very common. The yotze behem af b'chol. They'll wear it out even on the weekdays. The lekel ameichach. There's no fear. Dilma shalfo machve kemo biyamehem. There's no fear they're going to take it off and show it to the friends like in the times of the Gemara. Shaloha yirugil notzeis behem rak b'shabbos. Because in those days they would only wear jewelry on Shabbos. That v'lo habishchichi. It was not common to wear it during the week. They would only wear it on Shabbos. So when they saw their friend, they were so excited to show it to them that there was an issue. But b'zman hazeh, there is no issue. That's what the Rama says. That I saw this for last night. I saw someone has another reason that everyone today is considered an isha chashuva. You have it by haseba also, right? Everyone's considered an isha chashuva l'gabi haseba. Everyone's considered an isha chashuva l'gabi jewelry. It's very similar. It's a similar thing. Basically, it's not the custom today for that to happen. And since it's not the custom, the gzera doesn't apply.
Maybe you could also say that today women are much more like halacha, so to speak. They know that they're less shy to go out and do something that's connected to halacha.
Yeah, but he says that we'd rather them be shogeg and not be mazed. So the first reason of the mechaber is there's no out, right? There is no out. Which is we don't want them to be mazed, so we don't tell them anything. You have that a few times. The whole Torah, when you apply that principle, I think by deraisas you don't apply that principle, only by derabbanans. So you have to assume that all this is derabbanan. It's only a gzera. Maybe they'll come to carry it. But Ikira did something wrong with wearing jewelry. It's not a masui. It's a gzera. We don't want them to carry it, so we tell them not to wear it.
The problem is that the jewelry that they only wear on Shabbos, and that's the stuff that they don't wear. There's earrings for the whole
week,
and there's earrings for Shabbos.
Right. But that just could be convention. There's no din about wearing separate jewelry on Shabbos, unlike clothing.
So the whole concept is that it's not ruggle, and therefore you're not.
But those earrings are not ruggle. But the earrings in general are ruggle, right? That's like right. That's what I would have to say. Okay.
It doesn't work.
Okay. We do a few more lines, and then we'll stop a few minutes early because of the bris. V'lo b'tabas she'ein oleha chosem. Not with a ring that doesn't have a chosem. If it doesn't have a chosem, then a woman is not allowed to wear it. Ha'yesh oleha chosem. But if it does have a ring, if it does have a signet, if the ring does have a signet, then chayeves. It's a little difficult to interpret it that way. Right? I would have thought that it's mutar lagamri. The Gemara says, no, that's asur midoraisa. If it doesn't have a ring, if it doesn't have a chosem, if it doesn't have a signet, then it's asur midrabanan. But if it does have a signet, then it's chayeves, and she can't wear it midoraisa. Alma, so what do you see from here? Lav tachshidhu. If it doesn't have a signet, then it's not a tachshit, right? Because if it was a tachshit, it would only be asur midrabanan. So you see that a ring that doesn't have a signet is not a tach. I'm sorry. If it does have a signet, it's not a tachshit. Verminhu, but I'll ask you a stira from a Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim, because it says over there tachshitei noshim, the tachshitim of noshim. Right? What is that? Tameim. They're all tamei. Right? They're all considered kelim that can become tamei. The elu hein tachshitei nashim. The following items are tachshitei nashim. What are they? Katlos, the katla that we had before, some kind of thing around the neck. The nizamim. This is, what's these nizamim? These nizamim are earrings, because we're going to have nizmei af in a minute. Nizamim, earrings. Betabos, and rings. Betabos, and what kind of rings? Bein shiyesh alechosim. Bein shaleh ain alechosim. Whether they have a signet or whether they don't have a signet. So this Mishnah says that rings that don't, that have a signet are a takshit. And we just said a minute ago that rings that have a signet are not a takshit. So it's a stira. Right? That's the kasha. And then the Gemara says, Nizme'af. Also, the Mishnah in Kalim also says Nizme'af is nose rings. So you have a stira. Our Mishnah says, doesn't say beferish. It says that if somebody goes out, if a woman goes out with a ring, with a signet, she's chayav for carrying. Why? Because it's not a tashit. It's not a tashit, there's no reason you can carry it. Women, what the Gemara is going to assume, did not wear signets because they never signed any documents. They didn't need it. It was only men did that in that society. So since that was not common for women to do it, it's considered a burden. Right? So they can't carry it. So you see, it's not a tashit. But the Mishnah in Kalim says that it is a tashit. Right? So it's a stira. So the Gemara says, Rav Zera lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Ha Rav Nechemya, ha Rabbanon. One is the opinion of Rav Nechemya, and one is the opinion of the Rabbanon. And tomorrow, we'll stop now, and tomorrow we'll go through the whole machlokas between Rav Nechemya and the Rabbanon about the takshin, and specifically the takshin of ring with a signet. Today's shiur was learned Ilu Nishmas, Rav David Tzvi ben Dov Mordechai.